You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 23rd of August 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, just a short bit of news before we get into our main article for today. Continuing with the strikes that are hitting Britain this summer, the criminal barristers are now going on a full strike. They were taking one day of industrial action each week, then 2 days of industrial action, and now they are going completely on strike indefinitely from September the 5th over an ongoing pay dispute with the British government. Barristers across England and Wales will down tools on September the 5th for a strike that is now due to last indefinitely over an ongoing pay dispute with the British government. As the cost of living crisis puts pressure on people across the country, many unions have put pressure on the government and industry to bump up pay packets, with teachers, rail workers and civil servants all either considering or actively taking part in strikes over pay. Barristers are another profession that has been striking regularly in protest at the size of their pay packets, with the lawyers reportedly engaging in phased industrial action aimed at disrupting the courts. However, according to a report by Sky News, all barristers in both public prosecutions and defence will now down tools in early September until an agreement is reached. Those in the industry are at this point demanding a 25% pay rise, with the Criminal Bar Association, representing those due to go on strike, saying that the hike is proportionate considering barristers have supposedly seen a 28% earnings decrease since 2006 when taking inflation into account. The government has so far only been willing to offer barristers a 15% pay rise, which is due to come into effect at the end of September and will not be backdated to impact the pay for court cases that are already in motion. And I'm bringing this up because you look at that and you think, well, that's just, they've got a hell of a lot of cheek there, haven't they? Calling for a 25% pay rise. But the fact of the matter is, we have inflation that's going at between 10 and 15%, and this pay rise is only going to come in for new cases, and these cases are not going to be heard for 2 or 3 years yet. I mean, it could be 3 years before these cases are finished. They don't actually get paid the money until the court case is finished. So if they have a 15% pay rise this year and they don't actually get that money for 3 years, it's going to be less than the rate of inflation. So that's why they're calling for 25%. And it is very important that they get this money. They've lost loads of barristers. I think they've lost 25% of all their barristers because of this lack of pay. And the reason for it is that it's needed for legal aid. People need to have legal representation in court. If they cannot afford it, then they have to be helped by the government. And the government is not paying enough in legal aid to the barristers for them to do the work. And it's a very important job. You need to have a defence barrister. And now that the prosecution are also going for this. And I mean, if you're a barrister, you do prosecution as well as defence. But barristers that are currently involved in prosecution cases haven't been joining this strike. And now all of them are going to be striking. I mean, it's shocking to see the state of our legal system. And I think a large part of the reason why the legal aid fund has been depleted so much has been all these asylum claims and all these claims in the courts about not being deported, because they all get legal aid for that. When they try to break into the country and their asylum claim gets turned down, then they automatically appeal against it. And when they appeal against it, They have to have legal representation because they haven't got any money, because they're just turned up on the shores of Britain with no documents and what have you. Then they're entitled to legal aid. So I think a large portion of this fund that is supposed to be for the people in the indigenous Britons, originally it was for, and now it's for all British citizens to defend themselves in court. That fund has been going to people that have been trying to break into the country. But what do? People have to be able to defend themselves. There is an argument to be made that we have to be compassionate. And even when somebody has broken into the country, they're still entitled to a defence. But look at the cost of it. I mean, really, they should change things and send them to Rwanda, which is the plan that they had, which seems to have completely fallen through. Well, the news story that I really want to get into today is about the equivalent of blackface. And we know that we're told that blacking up, white actors blacking up in order to play parts in the mainstream media is now frowned upon. And programs like It Ain't Half Hot Mum that featured people doing that are now banned. Films that feature blackface are now banned. But what about this promotion of drag acts? Is that not men dressing up as women? Is that not the same thing as blackface? Well, it seems if you point that out, you get cancelled. A lecturer at a prominent music academy says she has been forced out of her job after she suggested that drag acts could be viewed as sexist. Of course they are sexist. They're picking up on female traits, they're hypersexualizing them, they are amplifying them, and it's essentially for laughs, isn't it? It's for a joke. And of course I'm not talking about the drag queen story hour here, but talking about drag queens in clubs. That's exactly what they're doing, really. They are mocking women. Kathy Boardman, a lecturer in cultural studies, had asked her class to reflect on woman face, a critical term for female impersonation, and whether or not it was demeaning. And of course, I mean, it's just a sensible thing to do, isn't it? But of course, when you try to point out the other side of these left-wing progressive ideologies, you get attacked for doing so. It's like when we say, well, if it's okay to say Black Lives Matter, then it should be okay to say White Lives Matter, surely. But of course, you're not. If you say White Lives Matter, you're going to be accused of being a racist and you'll be cancelled. And what she's done here is she said, well, if it's wrong to have people blacking up and pretending to be black people, surely it's wrong to have men pretending to be women. But bosses at the BIMM Institute, which has outposts around the country and links within Sussex University, told her this was a deeply sensitive subject and that transgender students had been left upset. Well, she wasn't talking about transgenders, was she? She was talking about drag acts. Why don't people see the difference here? Grandpa Dan pointed out this difference, that drag queens are something completely different to transgenders. Transgenders are supposed to be trying to present a credible representation of the opposite gender or the gender that they wish to be, whereas drag queens are hypersexualized and trying to pick up on things that women can do but don't do, and amplifying them, sort of making themselves out to be masculine women, I guess, is one way of looking at it. Ms. Boardman was then dismissed from her post. The lecturer, who is now taking legal action for unfair dismissal, said she had already been warned by the college principal that a small group of students were out to get her. I could lose everything, she told the Mail on Sunday. I've been in insecure work for my whole life, but this salaried job gave me hope that I could get a mortgage and provide a better future for my boys. So she was basically just trying to start a conversation. And I mean, it's quite a reasonable thing to say. I guess it's a reasonable thing to say about transgenders as well, isn't it? Only I guess transgenders are doing it because of a deeply held belief that they are actually the opposite gender, whereas blackface is doing it for an acting role. But that's exactly what drag queens are doing, isn't it? They put on all their makeup for an acting role so that they can present as a hypersexualized female for a cabaret review or for a performance at an adults-only club. Ms. Boardman is claiming that she is the victim of discrimination on the basis of her sex and her gender-critical belief that birth sex is immutable. So this also comes into this, but this article doesn't really concentrate on that. Gender-critical beliefs means critical of transgenderism and saying that your birth sex cannot be changed, which is just a biological fact, isn't it? You cannot change your sex. You cannot change XY chromosomes into XX chromosomes. All you can achieve is a cosmetic change. You can make what the body looks like different with body modification. You can present yourself as the opposite sex, but it doesn't mean that you can actually change your sex. It means that somebody is transgender. It means that they are transcending the gender norms and presenting as the opposite gender. Obviously, if you want to be polite and courteous, you would refer to them by the pronouns that they wish, but you should not be required to affirm the fact that somebody can actually change their sex when they can't. All they can do is modify their body through medical interventions. Miss Boardman said, "Essentially, I have been fired for doing my job. We are supposed to look at things from different perspectives. If we do not, then what is the point of university? Educational institutions, and this is not just the BIMM, are doing students a disservice by claiming they are not capable of critical thought or being challenged. The sad fact is, there is now a climate of fear on our campuses, and it's a climate of fear because of the students that could be out to get one of these professors, one of these teachers, if they do actually challenge them on it, on anything. And they're saying they're doing the students a disservice by claiming they are not capable of critical thought, but it's the students themselves that are saying they're not capable of critical thought. They're the ones that are saying, oh, we need trigger warnings, or this person needs to be cancelled, we couldn't stand to hear this information from a musical in the 60s because it was racist, or we could not stand to have this journalist here because he said something that was right-wing and it meant that the university is now unsafe for transgenders or unsafe for minorities. It's always the students themselves that are doing this. And the fact they try to remove people, have people cancelled, it shows that they're not capable of debate. I mean, there was a time when you would see the right wing debating the left wing, but now the left, because the left loses in those debates, they insist on just cancelling and removing people that are on the right. And Miss Boardman here is obviously left wing. She is just against against transgenders taking over female spaces. And that's not the point. As I say, that's not the point of this article. The point of this article is to highlight this idea of woman face. She said that for the most part, she was respected by her colleagues and had good relations with students, describing her role teaching about cultural ideas as a dream job. However, in November 2020, she found herself the subject of student complaints after giving a Zoom lecture on the theme of sex, sexuality, and gender. So you now get complaints if you have a different opinion to the mainstream. And who's saying that she actually has this different opinion? She's just putting this idea out there so that it can be debated. And I must say, I hadn't thought of this idea of woman face and it being the same as blackface, but it does make sense. So she's putting this idea out there. She wants the students to discuss it and debate it and say why it's wrong or why it's right. And yet she then gets these complaints. Miss Boardman says she sought to start a debate by showing an archive image of a white performer appearing in blackface alongside a picture of a contemporary drag queen accompanied by the caption, "What about woman face?" She wanted students to question whether a parody of women could be deemed offensive and criticised in the same way that a parody of black people can be criticised. So that's the reason for this, that it's a parody. I would say that blackface, I'm not sure that it was a parody. In some cases, it could be. Things like the Black and White Minstrels, things like Bo Selecta, that would be a parody. But instances where you had white people playing darker characters in Hollywood movies in serious roles, I wouldn't say that they were parodies. That's just an attempt to be as accurate as possible. Something which they obviously they don't do now. They put black people into white roles, and they don't try to make the black people look as if they're white. They pretend that that role was actually carried out by a black person in history. So it was more accurate when we did actually have blackface than a lot of the historical dramas that we see now. It was a whole year later, she says, before she was told that complaints had been received from students and a member of staff. I was not suggesting that drag and blackface are the same, because they are not, she said. Well, there is a similarity there, isn't there? It's if she's talking about parodies and she's talking about comedy, people dressing up in blackface to do comedy, then it is the same, surely, as men dressing up as women to do comedy. Blackface has always just been racist. Has it? Has it always just been racist? Has it been about oppressing black people or hating black people? As I say, I think in these historical dramas and these Hollywood movies, there weren't very many black actors. There weren't many black actors that were capable of doing these things, especially back, if you think in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, there weren't any black actors. So it wasn't racist. It was just a matter of fact that the only way you could have people portraying somebody who wasn't white in the movies was to have somebody putting on makeup to make them look like it. She says drag is a grotesque caricature of femininity, but it started off as a liberating form of entertainment for gay men who were being ostracized for being effeminate. I was simply trying to draw parallels with members of more powerful groups in society parodying members of other groups for entertainment. So, yeah, there, you could say that there is a parallel there. I wasn't sure that, I didn't really know where drag queens started off as. Gay men who had been ostracized for being effeminate. So I guess they then accentuated this effeminate aspect of themselves by dressing up as women and being extremely risque and vulgar and doing the sort of things that women wouldn't do. But I don't think you see in blackface, you see people in the movies dressing up as black people and then doing things that black people wouldn't do. If you think of serious movies where you had white people dressing up as an Arab or somebody dark, then they weren't doing that for entertainment or for laughs, were they? She says, I wasn't pushing an agenda. I just thought it was a really interesting thing to think about. It is a challenging thing to think about. It's exactly the sort of thing that should be going on at university. Miss Boardman fell into new difficulties in March 21 after another lecture on sex and gender. She says she decided to focus on the mistreatment of women because her presentation fell in the same week as the vigil for Sarah Everard, who had been raped and murdered by a Metropolitan Police officer. But this led to accusations of transphobia from a small number of the 400 students she addressed, because her hour-long lecture omitted to mention transgender people, an omission that they felt was hurtful. When a student asked me why we hadn't talked about transgender issues, I said we hadn't the time to do it justice, Miss Boardman said. But surely if transgender women are women, then when she was talking about women here, she would have meant transgenders, surely. I mean, they can't have it both ways. They can't say that transgenders are exactly the same as women, and when you're talking about women, you're also talking about transgenders. So we have to be careful to say things like men can now get pregnant because there are transgender men. So when she's talking about rape here and about the risks of rape and focusing on the mistreatment of women, these students should have just assumed that she was also talking about transgenders. I mean, what were they expecting her to do? To go into the details of what a transgender rape could be? I suspect they would not have liked to be hearing about that. It just seems to me as if they've got the knives out for Miss Boardman, these students. She then invited the student to focus on trans matters in their essay. So it's just one student here, one student that complains about somebody not being politically correct enough, and that's it. They lose their job. A third incident took place in the staff room in November 21. Miss Boardman said someone asked me if I'd seen the American drag queen RuPaul. Then there was talk about us all going to a drag show, and they asked if I would go. I responded, oh God, no, I don't want to see a drag show. I hate drag. A lot of the humour associated with drag is about being edgy and offensive, which is fine, but I find it sexist. No one at the time commented on what I said. However, a month later, a colleague complained. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? If you say, I don't want to go to a drag show, you could be complained about. I guess this comes under this explanation of hate speech and hostility. If you show hostility towards a group with protected characteristics, then you can be accused of incitement to hate. And hostility doesn't just include things such as being aggressive. It can include things such as being unsympathetic or unfriendly. So if she was to say here, oh, I don't want to go to a drag show, I hate drag, then that is being unsympathetic or unfriendly to drag queens, isn't it? Saying I hate drag. So that would be falling foul of the speech laws. I mean, this is what really, well, this really highlights the ridiculousness of this criteria of hostility. And if somebody shows hostility towards one of these groups, then they're guilty of hate speech. And it means that you're not allowed to dislike certain groups. You're not allowed to not be sympathetic to their views. I mean, it's just crazy that the law is getting involved in people's personal opinions on things. Miss Boardman said she was summoned in December to meet the principal to discuss what were deemed to be her trans-exclusionary views. It was at this meeting, she says, the principal told her that some of the students were out to get her. Well, how is she excluding trans here? She doesn't seem to have said anything hateful towards trans. She just said she doesn't want to go to a drag show, and she didn't talk about transgender issues when she was talking about the risk of women being raped. She says, I didn't know the extent of what it means when students are out to get you. So I was terrified all over the Christmas holidays. But no one inquired about my welfare. Well, we know what the extent of it is when students are out to get you. It means they're going to try and dox you. It means you could be at risk of violent attack. It means you could get death threats. It means that you could lose your job. You could lose your bank account. You could lose everything simply for saying something as innocent as she has here, that isn't wearing blackface a bit similar to drag queens? Shouldn't that be called woman face? She said matters came to a head when the same student group who attended her sex, sexuality and gender lecture used an evaluation survey to criticize her teaching. They even said I was homophobic, she says, even though I'm a lesbian. And this is the incredible thing now, isn't it? Lesbians are being expected to go with transgender women who have penises. And if they don't, they're being accused of being transphobic. And this issue has really split the homosexual lobby. This LGB seems to be splitting apart from the T, because the T are expecting the LGB to be attracted to essentially their same sex, that is, or essentially the opposite sex, if it's presenting as the same gender. And if they don't, then they're accused of being phobic, as she is here. She's been accused of being homophobic, even though she's a lesbian. In the wake of the decision to dismiss her, she was told there was no need to return to work to complete her notice, and discovered she had been locked out of her email account. She tried to appeal against her termination, but in June was told the original decision to let her go had been upheld. I fear I won't get another job in lecturing now, she said, yet they've done this to me in the name of inclusion. And this is the same everywhere, isn't it? This inclusivity does not include anybody that has a different opinion. Anybody that can actually think for themselves is not included with this big drive for diversity and inclusion. A college spokesman said BIMM fully supports and defends freedom of speech. How do they do that then? How do they support freedom of speech when this woman loses her job for asking a question and trying to start a debate? The BIMM fully supports academic freedom and equality and has rigorous policies in place to ensure staff and students are treated fairly and in full accordance with these principles. But it would seem that where freedom of speech comes up against equality and diversity, freedom of speech loses, and freedom of speech should take precedent over everything. If we are not free to speak our opinion even, then we're not free to do anything at all, are we? If we're not free to hold our own opinions and to voice our own opinions, it would not be appropriate for us to comment on the specifics of this case at this stage, given the ongoing litigation, save to say that allegations of discrimination are strongly denied. Well, surely they are discriminating against her because of her views. I mean, that is the whole point of this. He said that important facts surrounding Miss Boardman's unsuccessful probation period were missing from her account. So they're probably going to say that there are other reasons why they ended up having to let her go. There was other behaviour that she had done. But it seems quite clear to me that it's because she pointed out this similarity between woman face and black face, between drag queens and people dressing up and pretending to be black. So quite an interesting point that she raises there. I've got some positive news here to finish the podcast off with. And you'll remember the other week we were talking about the Attorney General, Suella Braverman, and how she was saying that there needs to be lawsuits that are taken out against the schools for socially transitioning children. This needs to come before the courts so that precedent can be made, so that the courts can pronounce judgment on this issue, because she says it is very, very likely to be unlawful. And now we finally are seeing a lawsuit that is being taken out, and this is going on in Wales. Parents have launched emergency legal action against compulsory sexuality and gender classes for pupils as young as three years old. For 3-year-olds are going to be taught about homosexuality and transgenderism. I mean, how confused are they going to be when they're taught about this sort of stuff? Their innocence is going to be taken away, and it's going to make the chances of them experimenting sexually far higher, I would have thought. We have a huge problem now with children molesting one another, and yet nobody seems to draw a link with the teaching of homosexuality and transgenderism to young children, toddlers, it says here. They asked the High Court last Friday to intervene to block lessons due to start in schools in Wales after the summer holidays. Ministers in the Labour-run Cardiff government insist that the new curriculum will embed sex and gender themes into day-to-day teaching in all subjects. Imagine that. I mean, it's not just going to be taught about in biology or relationships. They're going to inject homosexuality and transgenderism into everything, into history, into maths, into English. I mean, this is just taking over, isn't it? I mean, it really is totalitarianism, like that chap was highlighting the other week with his swastika picture made out of the trans pride flag. Campaigners say the relationships and sex education topics are inappropriate for primary pupils. Of course they are inappropriate for them. Homosexuality. One of the really shocking things about this is you see all these kids waving these pride flags and people saying that they're gay kids or kids pronouncing their loyalty to the gay cause. And how can they be saying that they are homosexual unless they've been molested, basically? To be a homosexual, you have to engage in homosexual acts. To have homosexual intercourse, you have to be over the age of 16. And that is what defines somebody as homosexual or gay. And they've got all these kids waving these flags, talking about gay pride, how proud they are to be gay. And they're basically just saying that they've all been molested or they've been lied to about what the word actually means, or perhaps that the word itself is changing. But I'm sure if you look it up in the dictionary, it will say that a homosexual is somebody that engages in homosexual acts. And they're teaching these three-year-olds about this. They're teaching them about transgenderism, and encouraging them on that. I'm sure they don't tell them that it includes cutting their pee-pee off. I mean, it's just scandalous. I mean, 30 years ago, we would say that castrating children was an awful thing that they used to do to these castratos, these young boys that had wonderful singing voices, and they would castrate them so they had this wonderful singing voice for the rest of their life. And we'd say, oh, that was absolutely horrific. Fast forward 30 years and you've got this being promoted to children again under this guise of transgenderism before they even know what their genitalia is actually for. Mother of two, Kim Isherwood, said it's weaving adult debates into all subjects, so even in maths we have seen things like find the area of an LGBT flag or calculate the percentage of people with chlamydia. It is dangerous and infuriating. And of course it is, because the children are then going to be asking, well, what is chlamydia? They're going to be encouraged to show support and pride in lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender issues. And I mean, some of the issues are not things that you would really want to be too proud about or to encourage in children. In the landmark case, the courts will effectively be asked to decide if parents are to lose their rights to opt their children out of sex and religious education classes. Parents should always have the right to opt their children out of something that they would rather teach the children about themselves. I mean, the government doesn't want everybody to be homeschooling. Surely a compromise would be that parents could remove their children from classes they don't want them in. But the problem here is that even if you were to remove the child from the sex and religious education class, the homosexualism and the transgenderism is going to be embedded into every other topic. So parents will have no choice other than to homeschool their children. Parents have previously been able to withhold consent for their children to be taught these topics. But the Wales government has classified the RSE classes starting next month as mandatory. Sexuality and gender identity issues will be woven into all classes, regardless of subject. While lesson plans have not been published, similar guidance to teachers in Scotland suggests pupils as young as 9 will be taught about masturbation. So, of course, it's going to encourage children to experiment sexually. They'll start experimenting on each other. We'll have a tidal wave of children molesting other children, if we haven't already got one. And then what they'll say is, oh, we have to teach them about it even earlier so that they learn not to do this. The Wales guidance includes the notion that pupils will explore sexual attraction and not just the biology of having sex. So they'll be encouraged to explore sexual attraction with one another, and also they'll be telling them that that you can have sexual attraction to your own gender, and that's absolutely fine. So again, that will encourage children to experiment homosexually, which could end up giving them a massive guilt complex once they actually start going through puberty. It says learners can explore how relationships, sex, gender, romantic and sexual attraction and personal experiences may shape and inform a person's identity and individuality. The 9,000-word document tells schools to teach healthy, safe and fulfilling relationships, but has no mentions of the words boy, girl, man or woman, prompting campaigners to question how sex education will actually be taught. Surely, this is just incredible, isn't it? They've actually taken out of it the fact that sex is about a man and a woman having intercourse and procreating and producing a child. That they've taken that out completely, and they're just saying sex is just about pleasure and it can be with whatever, I guess. I mean, it could be with an inanimate object, I guess it could be with an animal. I guess they're not even saying human here. They're just saying, not saying boy, girl, man or woman. I guess because that would be exclusionary to people that don't have a gender. In May, the campaign group Public Child Protection Wales scored a landmark victory by winning the right to have the Cardiff government's policy tested in the courts. A judicial review will be heard later this year. But because the lessons are due to start immediately in the new school term, the parents have launched emergency legal action in the High Court in Cardiff. Their barrister, Paul Diamond, filed an application for an injunction asking a judge to consider blocking the lessons until after the judicial review is heard. Surely that is what should be going on here. They should not be teaching these children this, not risking the damage that it could cause until it's been properly investigated with a judicial review. Miss Isherwood, who chairs the campaign group, said the judge said there should be a judicial review, yet the Welsh Government are not waiting for this to happen. They are just ploughing ahead. They're just going on regardless of the damage that it might cause. A Welsh Government spokesman said it would respond accordingly to any court application, but that we remain confident our reforms are proportionate and lawful. I'm sure they are, because there is this push from the government. They have to have equality, and that means transgenders and homosexuals have to have equal everything. It means that they have to have representation everywhere. The representation has to be equal to everyone else. So I'm sure they are proportionate and lawful. What this does is it points out the problem that there is with the law and with this guidance and the damage that it's causing to our children. He added, learners will only learn topics that are appropriate to their age. Well, again, what they have determined to be appropriate for children, most parents would not want their children to be taught. So let's hope this goes ahead. It's great to see that there is a lawsuit trying to prevent this. And we need to see more lawsuits against these schools, specifically for socially transitioning children, exactly as Suella Braverman has asked for. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.